As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. This is how Jesus called out the religious leaders of his day, and also how he calls you and me out today. The word hypocrisy and hypocrite actually comes from the Greek word hypokrites, which is the word for an actor or a stage player in that day. And these were people who wore masks, right? And the word literally is a compound word that means the interpreter from underneath the mask. It eventually became to be known as someone who wears a figurative mask, right? To cover up who they really are. And eventually, the most common meaning of the word hypocrite became exactly that one that Jesus intended today in our message. It's someone who pretends to be pious or good, but inside is not. As a matter of fact, the definition Jesus gives us by quoting Isaiah is a pretty good one. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So the word itself, hypocrite, is one that really comes to us from what Jesus said today in our gospel lesson. And actually, the word is used 19 times in the Bible. The hypocrite word is used 19 times, only once in the whole Old Testament, and only once in Galatians, the rest of the times, okay? 13 times in the Gospel of Matthew, 3 times in the Gospel of Luke, and only once in Mark, the passage we just read. And who says it every time? Jesus calls out you and me and says, don't be hypocrites. Now, why do you think God, who comes down as Jesus and is speaking to us directly, would call us out so many times for being hypocrites? The text that we just read gives us a clue as to why he did this. You see, Jesus cares about the condition of the heart. He cares about the condition of the heart not only of the people who might hear us, religious people, but even the religious leaders of that day. He wanted all of them to be saved. And this is why he called them out so often. As a matter of fact, whenever he uses this, his intention is to draw us to him, not push us away. There are three main facets of hypocrisy that I'd like to at least touch upon today a little bit. And the first aspect or facet of hypocrisy that I'll touch upon is that it reveals an insincere faith, right? Someone who doesn't really believe. The second facet is it leads the hypocrite to judge others. And the third facet of hypocrisy is that it injures other people and drives them away. So the first thing I want to mention is that us Christians, of all people, should not be hypocrites. And there never should be a Christian church that's full of hypocrites. Why is that? Because we know that what God tells us in this word, it's not that we're any better than anyone else. It's not that we did something to earn God's favor. No, he tells us it's 100% because of his love, his mercy through Jesus Christ. So why would we judge other people? Why would we be hypocrites? But we do this all the time, right? We condemn others for this sin or that sin. And they start to believe that we teach this, that you have to be this way or that way to be saved. All other religions teach that you got to do something to earn God's favor, but Christianity does not teach that. It teaches just the opposite, that despite how bad we are, God comes to us. God loves us. We don't do anything to earn God's favor. This brings us to the first facet of hypocrisy that I want to talk to you about today, which is a genuine saving faith. I remember when I was a kid, I always wondered if I was really saved. Did I really believe enough? Could I have some feeling that I really knew for sure that I would be saved? Or some measure of how much I really believed? And then if I doubted something, almost anything, I started worrying, I might not be saved. I don't want you guys to ever feel this way. You should never feel this way. I want every single one of you in church today to realize that you have genuine saving faith, or to come to realize that today. So what is it? What's genuine saving faith? So all of you know that you're not perfect, right? Not perfect. You've done a few things that are wrong throughout your life. You've not always done what you should have done. You're even kind of embarrassed and ashamed about some things, right? So we're going to put all those things into the category of sins. These are sins, okay? All those things you're ashamed of. God tells you today in this word that all of those sins are completely forgiven. He tells you that even those sins you don't remember, even those things that you never even knew you did wrong, they are forgiven completely because Jesus came and lived a perfect life in your place. He died on the cross paying the penalty for all those sins, and he rose again on the third day to guarantee your place in heaven. Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what God just said to you? Can you take him at his word? Can you trust that what he just promised you, he will actually do? Forgive all those sins? Then you're saved. Period. Just taking him at his word. Just trusting he's going to do what he said here. That's it? Yeah, that's it. Nothing more. And if that's it, why would we judge other people? This brings us to the second facet, right, of hypocrisy, judging other people. I always liked the physical analogy of pointing, right? You've heard this before, right? When you're pointing at others, when you're judging others, there's only one finger going out at them and three more back at you. This is what God intended in his word. When he judges sin, he wants you to know that the main reason he gave you this law is not to point the finger at others, but to think about what you did yourself. The main reason he gave the law is to have it be a mirror so you can see who you really are. You, not others, you. As a matter of fact, in one of these other chapters, okay, Matthew, chapter 7, verse 5, where he uses that same word, hypocrite, this is what Jesus says. You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye. And then you will see clearly to take the little speck out of your brother's eye. This is what God's judgment of sin is all about. It's about us and us realizing that we're the ones with the log. We know this as Lutherans, right? We know that we're not any better than anyone else. God saves us despite the log in our own eye. And we should always look humbly at other people and realize they've only got specks. As a matter of fact, in Romans, we read this: even after God saves us, we keep doing things that are wrong. Paul says this. It's in Romans chapter 7. "For I have a desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil that I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." That's the log in our own eye. But don't you know? All of those sins are forgiven. And all you do is you trust God. You take Him at His word, and they're all gone. Forgiven. The whole log. Forgiven. This leads me to the third facet of hypocrisy that I want to talk about today. And the third facet is about the fact that our judgment of other people hurts them, okay, and drives them away from what God wants. I want you to know that the Barna Survey Organization, this is a very reputable surveying organization, they actually did a survey, I think it was completed in 2014, and they found out that the main reason people don't go to church is because of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. This is the main reason people are driven away from church. And it's not too surprising when you hear about things like Christians doing all the same sort of things that they are condemning, right? You hear about the Catholic Church and what they're hiding, right? These sorts of things are very condemning of us. But you got to remember that that's not what matters. What really matters is God, okay? God's grace is bigger than all of that, right? I want to use a modern day story to actually illustrate how important this is with regard to driving people away or attracting them to the church. I think you all know who Tiger Woods is, right? Tiger Woods, he's the world's most famous golfer. As a matter of fact, in 2009, he was at the top of his game. He had won 14 major championships already, okay? And everyone thought that he would just blow by Jack Nicklaus's record of 18 major championships, right? And then what was revealed? Yeah, he was sinful. He was sinful. He had an affair. As a matter of fact, they found out it was multiple affairs and all kinds of things had happened. But what happened on that day in November, the day after Thanksgiving, November 20, 2009? Could he still keep playing golf just as well? No. You see, Tiger Woods knew all along what he was doing. So did God. He knew all along what Tiger Woods was doing. But the full weight of that was not felt by Tiger Woods until what? Other people knew and judged him. You see, God fully knew all of that and actually had already forgiven all of that. But he was crushed by the judgment of other people. I just wish that instead of only judgment, someone had told him the good news. The good news. Hey, Tiger, your sins, they're all forgiven. God already knows you fully and loves you. There's a song out there right now by Torrin Wells, and I want to have Darwin play it for you and have you think about this a little bit in this context. The words will also be up on the screen, and so you can follow it along.
It's so unusual. in, call me out to pull me in. You tell me I can start again, and I don't need to keep on hiding. I'm fully known and loved by you. You won't let go, no matter what I do. And it's not one or the other, it's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known and loved by you. I'm fully known and loved by you. It's so like you to keep pursuing. It's so like me to go astray. But guard my heart with your truth, the kind of love that's bulletproof, and I surrender to your kindness. Oh, I'm fully known and loved by you. You won't let go, no matter what I do. And it's not one or the other, it's hard truth. Ridiculous grace to be known, fully known and loved by you. I'm fully known and loved by you. How real, how wide, how rich, how high is your heart? I can't.
The message is, we're fully known. All that mess that's inside of us, God knows. And he loves us. And he forgives us. And he gives us ridiculous grace. Did you just see what you had to do to know that you're saved? Just take God at his word. That's all. Just take him at his word. That's ridiculous. All this stuff I did in my life, all the stuff that everyone's done in their life, all the sins of the whole world. You mean seriously? Nothing? I don't have to do anything? That's it, right? Ridiculous grace. You know, Tiger Woods, you may know that he's started playing golf again, right? And playing pretty good golf. As a matter of fact, in a few weekends ago, he was playing in the PGA Championship golf tournament, and he was atop the leaderboard again. And everyone was watching. I was watching because, I mean, it's fun to watch Tiger Woods play, and he's fun to watch. And so it's kind of cool to see him playing golf again. But I don't want you to know about his golf game as much as I want you to know about something that he's been saying lately. This is what he said on August 7, 2008, 2018, just a couple months, just a little while ago. I'm very blessed to be here, he says. July 22, 2018. It's going to sting for a little bit here, but from where I was to where I am now, I'm blessed. Do you think God finally caught him? Oh, that's what I think. I think God finally let him know. I know all that stuff in your life, and I died for you. Your sins are all forgiven. And he doesn't promise him that he's going to win another golf tournament. He's never going to have those years back. He probably will never play as well as he ever played. But he's blessed. You see, this is the message of our church. The message of our church is that God fully knows you. He knows all those things you've done wrong, and he fully loves you and forgives you for Jesus' sake. This is a good news that we can tell to everyone we meet. This is the good news we can share with our neighbors, our friends, anyone we walk into. Hey, no judgment here. Just want to let you know that God fully knows and he loves you. Come on in. and see what it's like. Come on in and feel what it's like to be fully known and loved by God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do we have a song next? Yeah, I think we have a song next, or is it okay? Yes. Thank you. So let's close in prayer, and then we'll have a little song and a benediction, okay? So please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would make us your messengers of love, kindness, and forgiveness. Help us always to share your love with others. Help us to reach people with the good news that God fully knows you, and he loves you and forgives you for Jesus' sake. In whose name we pray, amen.